We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This is the Sooner Sports Podcast, your all-access pass to Sooner Sports. The Sooner Sports Podcast is presented by Allstate. Are you in good hands? And by Riverwind Resort. Riverwind Resort, the place to be.
Oh, mama! What a play!
Now, here's your host, Chris Plank.
All right, welcome into the Sooner Sports Podcast. We call our Tuesday edition the Game Plan. My name is Chris Plank. We've got a lot to recap from the spring game. Just wanted to start with a huge thank you, obviously, as we were previewing the spring game, as we were previewing the fun on Friday night, our biggest numbers for our downloads so far since the football season wrapped up. So thank you. And obviously to the fans, just a huge night on Friday night. That's what made the difference. That's what made the atmosphere. Obviously, an incredibly solid call by the administration to shift from trying to play the game on Saturday with the weather the way it was here in Norman on Saturday, and then the night that we were able to enjoy on Friday night. So, you know, I hate for those who had their travel plans maybe imploded because of this shift, but trust me, this was the right call, and it was an incredible night for the spring game. So let's get after it, shall we? We've got Lincoln Riley's press conference. You're going to hear from Jalen Hurts. You'll hear his press conference, Tanner Mordecai from afterwards. But let's start with Toby Rowland, the voice of the Sooners, who was front and center for Friday night. And Toby, first and foremost, what kind of caught your eye? What really stood out to you from the spring game on Friday?
I thought Jalen Hurts looked poised, mature, composed, like an old man. He didn't look frazzled by a new offense or sped up or trying to impress people. He just looked comfortable, I guess is the best word. And I think that most people felt like, almost everyone felt like he was going to be the starter this year going into the spring game. And I certainly think that has been fortified coming out of it. Thought he played great. Tanner Mordecai did not have his best night. And you could tell, you talked to him afterwards, he was pretty upset with how he performed. So that's one. The wealth of talent that they have at the pass catcher position is absurd.
It's unreal, isn't it?
Absurd. I don't know. Here's the sports radio fan worry. I don't know how they're going to keep everybody happy. I mean, C.D. Lamb, Charleston Rambo, Grant Calcaterra, and the guy that nobody's Lee Morris, the guy that nobody's going to talk about all year but will make plays for this team is Nick Basquin, okay? And then Mykel Jones is back. Then you throw on top of that Trajan Bridges, who I thought was awesome on Friday night. Theo Weiss had a couple of touchdowns. Jaden Hazelwood is the number one wide receiver in the country coming out last year. And Austin Stogner is on his way to looking like Rob Gronkowski. He's just giant. He's just a giant human being. It's unbelievable how much talent they have at that position.
You know what else really stood out to me? The crowd. I mean,
yeah.
I just still to this moment, I look back and I was telling everyone about it when we were getting ready to go to the softball game on Saturday. I really, truly think this becomes the norm. Don't you? I mean, I think then if baseball or softball are home that weekend, you can create a whole game day around it. It was a special atmosphere.
I think at the very least it gives them flexibility with the weather. That now that they know they can do it. Like, let's say next week we want to put it on Friday night, and Friday night's going to be cold. You know, well, we can move it to Saturday. Saturday's going to be a better day. We know we can do it in 3 or 4 days if we have to. So, but under the lights, if the weather's going to cooperate, that was fun. The concert was more fun because of it. The game was more fun. Looked like the crowd had a great time. Kudos to everybody involved that pulled that off. That was a minor miracle that they did that. And by the way, while we're here.
Go ahead.
This segment is sponsored by the Sooner Shop. All right? And I say that because I think a lot of people got their first look at that on Friday as well. The new bookstore there at Owen Field. And I saw a ton of people walking through there on Friday night. So it's very cool. If you haven't checked it out, go check it out. The brand new Sooner Shop, our Fanatics fan shop right there at Owen Field.
You know what's kind of funny is I think that was Rufus's first time to go through it as well, too. He was pretty blown away. And I'm glad you mentioned the staff and everyone involved in making that possible, because with the game being shifted to Friday, our pregame show went from being out at FanFest to being where it's kind of typically been the last 2 years before the spring game, which is over at the practice field. Just wow. I mean, incredible work by Annie Hansen, that of Drew Hill, I mean, Chip Viney, that whole crew, man. It was, you know, obviously we can't talk a lot about recruiting, and you don't want to risk doing anything to get anyone in trouble. But holy smokes, Toby, that setup was unlike anything I had ever seen, and the amount of alumni and former Sooners that were there, some of the all-time greats, it was just – I was blown away. It was unbelievable. So how they were able to get that all done with as quick of a turnaround as they had to have just shows you how special some of the people are that work within that university. It's amazing.
Yeah. It's funny, like a baseball game will change day of, or a softball game. They'll wake up that morning and say, hey, how about we play at 3 instead of 6, you know?
Right.
Happens all the time. To move a football game like that, it takes a million people.
Right.
The recruiting coordination, the travel coordination, the concessions, the security, the radio, the TV, the traffic, the police, the campus police, the city police.
Crazy.
The video coordination, everything. It was a monster effort for everyone. So way to go. Kudos to everyone.
Good stuff from the voice. Let's hear from the coach. Lincoln Riley held his press conference afterwards and started with the tip of the cap to the same people that we tipped our cap to start this podcast.
What a great night. I don't know that I've ever enjoyed a spring game as much as I just did that one right there. And the first thing I would like to say is just a huge thank you to our fans, to Sooner Nation. I don't know how many fan bases that you literally change a game day 3 days before, 2.5 days before, and then you have an atmosphere like we did tonight. I mean, absolutely phenomenal. Really, really proud of our fan base, the way they responded, proud of our administration, all the work that went into moving this game, our staff, our recruiting staff. There was just so much to do. I mean, we could probably write a book, honestly, on the last 72 hours. And they just did a great job. Fans were awesome. What a fun atmosphere. You could tell our team really fed off of it. They were excited to play. Thought there was a lot of good things in the game. Different players, different sides of the ball. Looks like we came out of it pretty healthy. You know, got a lot of work, different situations. So, yeah, kind of like you would dream the night would go. So, what a fun week and fun night. This may become an annual tradition. Who knows, the night spring games here. So we're certainly off to a good start with it. So, again, thank you to all those people who made it happen, and what a special night.
Lincoln, what about Jalen? Looked like he was poised, and you could tell he's an experienced quarterback out there, couldn't you?
Yeah, I thought he handled it well. You know, made some nice plays in some scramble situations, made some good decisions from the pocket, got settled in quickly. You know, he felt pretty settled in the whole time. So made some, gave some guys some chances to make some competitive plays, and the guys really on his side responded and made a good number of those. So I thought he did a nice job.
Do you have any problems running the offense, or you know, getting into the calls you wanted him to and things like that?
No, yeah, he was good. He was good.
Lincoln, did you see anything you didn't like?
Oh, yeah, there's plenty. We missed a couple tackles defensively. You know, we were going to play with – we had a pretty physical practice on Tuesday. We lost, I think, three DBs, I think, on Tuesday. Two of them on one play. Nothing serious, but not enough to risk playing them tonight. So we were playing with some different lineups there in the secondary. So challenged our guys, honestly, just to field the full secondary, especially safety. But, you know, we got in the backfield a lot. Looks like there's probably a couple sacks that probably should have been blown, you know, should have been blown dead. So it looked like the you know, pass rush was pretty good. A couple of breakdowns in coverage, but other than that, looks like we moved around, you know, pretty well. Offensively, you know, guys made some plays after the catch. We didn't run the ball great. Didn't feel like Hall popped that long one there at the end. But other than that, we were just okay in the run game. But I thought the receivers stepped up and made some competitive plays, made some big plays after the catch.
Seemed like the young kids, those receivers were, they just seemed a notch above. They just seemed like they're closer to being ready maybe than a lot of other new kids.
Yeah, no, all four of those guys are, you know, are good players. And you could tell that the moment, at least tonight, certainly wasn't too big for them. So they got out there, made some competitive plays. You know, Trajan kind of started off the night, made a couple of nice plays. Stogner did. Then Hazelwood had some nice ones. Obviously, Theo had a couple of nice plays at the end. I was proud of Jaquelin Crawford. Thought that was, you know, he's one of those guys kind of raised his game when the lights came on. So thought he had a really nice game as well. So, yeah, those guys stepped up, made a few plays. And, you know, I think they feel the competition in that room right now. I mean, it's there's a lot of competition at all four of those spots. And so they're – that's raised all their games, and that's what you want to have.
Lincoln, given the emphasis Alex has put on takeaways throughout the spring, would you have liked to have seen more of that out there, and have you throughout the spring?
Yeah, we've had quite a few. Yeah, I mean, you see the emphasis taking hold. You really do. We got our hands on a lot of balls. You know, we had the interception. We had the fumble there at the end. For a half of football, you know, it was fairly active on that point. Really, you could have another two or three of those tip balls could have easily been picked, and with our top cats in there, they may be. So, yeah, I thought we were pretty active, especially the front, and I think that's where those takeaways always start. Is you're disruptive up front, you don't allow teams to run the ball, you put pressure on the quarterback, then good things happen, and we did that, and that's, you know, when the defense played well tonight was when we got pressure.
Spring practice is a
overall, but and did he have enough? Sometimes those guys don't get the same opportunities. You know how that goes in scrimmages. Did he get the same opportunities, you think?
I have to go back and look at it. You know, we kind of split the offensive lines up. We put the two, Tanner had kind of the two better guards, or the two first-team guards right now. Jalen had the two first-team tackles, you know, and we just tried to make it as even as we could from there. I don't know. It looked like the protection on Tanner's squad probably wasn't as strong, and had a couple of competitive plays on his squad that we just didn't make. But, yeah, I thought there was a period there after the first series. There's maybe two series in a row where he probably tried to force a couple of things down the field trying to make big plays, and then I thought he showed some real poise there the last couple of drives of kind of just resettling back in, taking what was there. So good response for him, and that's what you want to see from a young guy. You start off great, okay, have a great first series, have a couple of tough series, and do you respond or do you go in the tank? And he responded.
Lincoln, spring practice is a process, especially with the offensive line when you're looking for so many guys. Was tonight kind of a culmination of that process, or splitting them up and just, you know, being – post game, is it just too early to tell yet?
a little too early to tell. It is harder to judge when we split them up. We only did that for our last practice and then today. The rest of the time it's been, you know, more of our ones and our twos. And then there's been some fluctuation there. But it's so those groups have gained some continuity working with each other. And then you kind of scrap that to try to make it even here for the spring game. But there's a lot of good things from it. Things are going to happen during the year. You're going to have to play with different lineups, and guys got to be able to adjust. You can't use it as a crutch. So we've absolutely gotten better there, no question. We still got a long ways to go. But in the way that group's improved, you know, without some of the pieces, without Creed being there, you know, I think it gets you excited for what we could be.
Lincoln, you have.
Eric, you were asking this question. I don't give a damn what anybody says.
You have 4 months before fall camp, and you have two quarterbacks. Is it going to be a similar timetable to when you named Baker starter and then when you named Kyler starter last year, just in naming a starting quarterback?
Yeah, not necessarily. I think the other two fell fairly close together as far as when we did it, but that was more of a result of they were close competitions, and we really never changed a rep from going 50-50 with those guys until that point. And so, you know, we'll get back here. We got one more practice here on Tuesday, and then we'll, you know, take a step back, look at the spring as a whole. This was one practice. It was one, you know, one event. It's a little bit different. It's different schematically because it's pretty vanilla. It's different because of the atmosphere. There's, you know, it's good to evaluate, but it's one of 15 too. So we'll go back. We'll look at it. We'll get going here into summer, into camp. But the second we feel like we have a guy, we'll do it, because it doesn't make sense to keep going on with the reps 50-50 if you get to a point where you know, hey, it's we know who's going to be the starter. When we know and feel 100% confident in that decision, we'll do it. You know, when that falls, I don't know. If it's close, then you a lot of times you by a couple of weeks out the first game, then you feel like you got to name somebody. But if a guy separates, then we'll do it, and we'll go ahead and slant the reps at that point.
Lincoln, we know why you guys have made the spring game a bigger weekend with the recruiting calendar right. shift, but when you sort of think about in 2 years how it's evolved,
yeah.
How do you sort of wrap your head around the how of that just in such a short time?
Yeah, it's an investment by a lot of people. I mean, there's a lot that's gone into this, and it gets talked about behind our walls probably more than, you know, people outside of it would imagine. Every single little detail, everything that's done out there on the field, every video that we shoot to promote it, you know, again, I've been really pleased with that our administration has believed in our vision, because financially there's a big investment there, and you've got to, especially last year, they had to have some blind faith with us. And then I think everybody saw the result of, you know what, if you invest in this and you do it right, and we got out in front, we didn't wait for other people to do it, we did it first, and it paid dividends with a monster recruiting class that had no more single important day than that spring game last year. And so our administration's really backed us, and it's been a large investment there, but it's worth it. And because what one great player, what one great student athlete on this sport, on this campus, is worth to this university is more than probably what we invest as a whole. I mean, it's that big. And so we, you know, it's taken a lot of work. It really has. And it's been, everybody's had to do their part, and they have. You know, the administration's done it, the staff's done it, and then, you know, I'm thankful we've got a fan base that's responded. They've understood that this is important, and they were here tonight, they were here last year, and listen, this thing's just going to get bigger and bigger. Eventually we're going to pick a day where we have good weather, and then we're going to have 75,000 people in that thing. But it was pretty darn good tonight.
Is it important to get a lot of commitments out of this weekend, like, immediately, or does it matter, you know, down the road?
Yeah. I mean, you know, they're always good. You know, they're always good. But we'll some of the ones that happened last year didn't happen on that weekend, but they were in large part due to that weekend. So, no, I don't think so. But I think if you have a great weekend and show everybody what this place could be with the amount of really good players you got here, you would expect for it to be successful, and I think it will be again.
Lincoln, you mentioned this was just one practice, one scrimmage for Jalen. For you know, for those of us who can't see those other practices and scrimmages, where did his performance tonight stand up to what you've seen through the rest of the spring? I mean, was this medium or hot for him? Or
I thought he had a good night. I mean, I think it's been a, you know, kind of a constant improvement for him. It's certainly a long, long way from where we started, but it was good to see that as we progress, then he gets into a situation like this and trusting the things that we wanted him to trust. And I thought it showed. I thought he showed some of the progress that he's made. So I was proud of that.
Lincoln, you said that if the night game, if it becomes a norm, was it ever in consideration though before you make the change because of the weather? Was it a consideration to make the original game a night game at all?
We talked about it. You know, we have. I mean, you know, honestly, the biggest reason we haven't up to this point has been what's the weather going to be like, and then ironically, we play a night game because of the weather. So it's kind of, it's funny how it worked out. So that's been our biggest concern. I mean, there's nothing like playing under the lights. I mean, if we could do it like this every year, maybe we can. We'll start working on the next one probably next week. And if we can do it again, we will, because again, you only get so many of these in college ball. You only get under the lights, especially in a stadium with an atmosphere and a history like we have, you know, only a few times. And so it just brings a different vibe, a different electricity in the crowd that I think everybody could feel tonight.
I think a lot of excitement surrounded the first chance for many of us to see Jalen Hurts in a Sooner uniform. Jalen afterwards met with the media, and as you might imagine, a little bit excited about what he was finally able to do on Friday night.
I think it was fun to be out there. First time as a team, being out there in a public setting, a very game-like setting, competing, and definitely going out there without any coaches on the field. Think about all the new guys we have, and from young to old, I'm a new guy, I'm old, and I'm, you know, learning my way around. But I think overall it was a good productive day for the team.
For you, you've been through so much, accomplished so much. Was this a big deal for you at all? I mean, personally, just after everything you've been through?
Any opportunity I get to step on the field, I say it's a big deal. You know, I love the game. I've been playing it my whole life, you know. So any opportunity I get the chance to step on the green, I try and take advantage of it. And, you know, they always say the moment you stop, you know, getting those butterflies or those feelings before the game or about a game, you should stop playing. So that time ain't coming no time soon.
It was the first time you had a chance to wear Oklahoma's colors. Was that unique for you in any way, or did you think about that at all?
They had me in a blue jersey, so I didn't know how to feel about that one. But like I said, the environment of it all was fun. Great fans, great enthusiasm around there. And I think everybody, you know, I think we continue to take steps this spring.
Lincoln, they called you down on that run. Were you going to go down, or was that on that first series?
Yes, we had to wait till the fall to find out.
Hey, Jalen, do you have a favorite throw that you had tonight?
I think there are a lot of things that there's no complacency. Like, I'll just say that. Gotta continue to, you know, like I said, make those steps, move forward, fix the things that we need to fix, and to be the best that we can be. The expectation I have, you know, for myself, and the expectation I've placed on my peers, my teammates, and my guys. I mean, you know, we're trying to do special things. So we know it takes a lot of hard work, and we're going to continue to take those steps to get the things done we want to.
Jalen, Lincoln said he said it's been a constant improvement. Talking about you, it's been a constant improvement in your time here. But he said he phrased it, a long way from where we began, talking about your time here at OU.
Can you rephrase
that? Yeah, I'll just kind of – it's been a constant improvement, but it's a long way from where we began. He's talking about
you. In other
words,
you've improved a lot.
Yeah, you've improved a lot since you've been here. Can you kind of describe your perspective on that?
Like I said, I have a standard, expectations for myself. Coach Riley's done a great job of, you know, kind of showing – me the way, the other guys the way, everybody the way of, you know, how it's supposed to be. And, you know, another unique part about this is you get a lot of guys that are able to watch Baker, you know, Kyler, see them play, you know, sitting out a year or whatever. Well, I'm just coming in and, you know, don't necessarily have a guy in front of me to watch, so I'm watching a lot of film. And I'm learning from all the other guys in the room every opportunity I get to do so. So I think this is all, the individual efforts, the individual stuff comes when you're all about the team and, what I'm saying, putting the team first, trying to make each other better.
Where do you feel like you've come the furthest as a, with the, grasping the offense or understanding Lincoln's terminology or any of those aspects?
I think the biggest thing is it's just the process. It's process-oriented. I'm a process-oriented person. And I know that, it's kind of like getting coming from A to Z or climbing a mountain. It takes time. Day by day and night by night, we'll be where we want to be.
Jalen, when we talk to defensive guys, we struggle not to ask them about last season versus now. You aren't here, so you're a perfect guy to ask. Just what do you see now from this defense that you face every day?
I got a dual perspective, probably the most unique perspective preparing for them. But, I say the energy is, very high. I tell you honestly, those first few practices, they were getting our, highness, So they're on the same road we're all on, trying to take it day by day, night by night, trusting in that process of learning, buying into what the coaches are saying, and, ultimately building an identity for what we want to be.
Jalen, despite this being your playing debut here, you look in command, you look comfortable, you look poised out there. Did you feel that way while you were playing?
I think comfort will continue to come with time. On the outside looking in, I probably, do look that way, but there's always more. There's always more that I can do. There's always more that, we can push each other to do. And there's always more we can accomplish. So I think that's the biggest thing for us is trying to make those necessary steps to be the team that we want to be when it's game time and it's all said and done.
Pardon me. Was that a predetermined, was that a back shoulder throw for one thing that on that first series? And if it was that something predetermined or was that something just on the move that you threw? It was on that first series, got you down to the 1 yard line.
That was a back shoulder ball.
Is that something you improvised or is that something that was called?
No, I just saw what I needed to see. I made the back shoulder throw.
Okay,
got you. What did you think of your receivers tonight? They seemed like they won a lot of battles for you.
We got a lot of good guys. Got a lot of guys that can make plays. Biggest thing is, letting them play. Really, the offense is it's all nice. So it's about getting the ball in playmakers' hands.
Jalen, you mentioned that you didn't have a guy to study like some of the other guys in the quarterback room were sat behind Kyler or sat behind Baker, and you said something about so you just watch film. Do you mean you're watching film of what Kyler did or what Baker did to learn the offense, or what did you mean by that?
Most definitely. I wouldn't be saying, but maybe 2 weeks ago,
yeah.
If I didn't call those guys and, ask those guys questions, watch those guys' films, games from the past, right. I'd be, kind of digging a hole for myself. So I'm trying to learn as much as I can to help this team be as successful as we desire to be. And like I said, I'm watching as much as I can, watching the past, kind of building comfort by watching those guys, and just taking it day by day. I'm trying to do something to better myself, be better every day.
Jalen, you've been in quarterback battles before. Do you feel like you're on the path to earning this job right now?
That's not my decision. All I can do is control what I can control, be where my feet are, and compete.
Those three freshman wide receivers obviously had a really good game, plus tight end Stogner. What do you see in them, I guess, throughout all of practice? And can you kind of compare them to some of the freshmen that you've been around previously?
Like I said, I don't want to get into comparisons. But we got a lot of talent, and I think every part of the field, every position, there's more. So we're not going to, baby each other. We're not going to do those things. We're going to push each other to get the best out of each other so we can be the best that we can be. And those guys, whether it was good or not, I guess we want more. You know.
Two more questions.
Yeah, one more practice, and then you're going to have an important offseason. How much do you need to use that summer to improve yourself and as an offense together?
I'll be working. I think we'll all be working. Definitely trying to continue to build that chemistry between each other. We have those early morning workouts. But we'll be getting a lot of work in with each other this summer, and we're going to try and maximize that opportunity and get ready.
Jalen,
for the season.
I'm sorry. After one of your scores, you and I think the whole red team posed for a photo. And was that impromptu? Like, I mean, was that improv, or did you guys plan that you were going to do that for a touchdown?
No, my center Clayton. I mean, it's different, I guess. My center, he asked me that same question. I said, he said, when did you think of that? I said, well, I just thought about it. So let's go take a picture after we score. And we went and took one. And I told Italy, I told him that. Say, yeah, I ain't doing that over there at the other place, so at Alabama.
something you didn't. Okay. So first of all, it was your idea to take the photo, and you decided during the game.
Yeah, fun atmosphere.
Yeah.
Figure why not? I know my old coach Saban. He probably got a tune for that one. So
you had your first press conference. You come off as a leader. You know. Kind of a stoic guy. Is there a side of you that you kind of are letting your teammates see maybe that the world doesn't see? Is there, I mean, we talked to Kenneth and Deshaun about your battles about wearing the blue jersey in practice and them telling you to take it off and things like that. But I don't want to say do you feel a sense of freedom to be more like that here, but I guess do you?
What do you see?
I mean, you seem like a very stoic guy.
You think I'm different?
I didn't cover you at Alabama, so I don't know. I covered some of your bowl games, but that's about it.
I don't know. I'm a team guy. You know, I love my guys. I want to I try and put people first, so my peers first, and team-oriented, and, you know, is doing that. But I'm me.
And from the excitement of Hurts, a little bit of frustration for Tanner Mordecai. Didn't really have the night he wanted to, but, man, I think great things are ahead for this kid.
I mean, obviously I thought I could do a lot better than that. But, I mean, I think the guys, like, all around got better and took a step forward tonight and watched the film and get better from it. Yeah.
Tanner, can you kind of just explain what it was like? You know, not a whole lot of experience last fall, but then tonight you come out and – you know, you're a quarterback for one of the teams, and you're in a competition. What was it like from that standpoint, just sort of being out there and having extensive playing time?
It was cool. I mean, it's a lot of people for a spring game. The fans did their part, and you know, we competed and trying to get better.
What's going to stand out to you, do you think, moving forward from tonight? The interception, the touchdown, something maybe in between?
I mean, maybe just like inconsistency. I've been trying to keep that up, and I've. I wasn't too happy with my performance, and yeah, so I guess inconsistency.
What did you see on the interception?
I mean, I just didn't feel him go to the top and let a ball loose. I shouldn't have.
You mentioned, you know, the people, and you've been in games with people, but you've come into games that are in control. Was that the biggest difference tonight? Is that you were having to do a lot more than just kind of come in the game and throw the ball around? I mean, did you feel that at all?
I mean, no, not really. I just didn't play as well as I wanted to, and I don't think that had anything to do with it. I just flat out just didn't play as well as I wanted to.
The atmosphere, and everybody's talked about that tonight. What was it like for you guys to play this spring game at night in front of 50,000 fans? And
yeah, it's cool. Like I said, for a spring game, it's a lot of people to come watch a game that's not even in their season. And, I mean, they did their part. We had the concert going and a pretty good atmosphere. And like I said, they really showed out.
Did you, you've been side by side for the past few weeks with Jalen competing. this time you're across the sideline from him. Did you peek up and look and watch him at all, or you know, listen to the calls or anything like that? Did you watch his performance?
Yeah, I mean, I watch him every day. Whenever I'm not going, he's going. So
right.
Yeah,
but I watch tonight, him every day. I mean,
yeah,
specifically.
Yeah, I watched, you know, how he did things like I do every day, and watch the calls, and I mean, same thing. Every day we have different drives, and kind of just watch what Coach Riley calls and how he performs, of course.
You still learn from him?
I can learn from everybody.
Yeah.
Learn from their mistakes, learn from their success. I learn from Kyler, learn from Austin Kendall, learn from NFL quarterbacks who play on Sundays, other quarterbacks across the nation. Yeah, you can take stuff from everybody.
Tanner, you obviously are a little disappointed in part of what you did, but it seemed like as the game went on, the scrimmage went on later, you gained the confidence that you were distributing the ball with authority. Do you feel you're coming off of something successful that will help you?
Yeah, I mean, I just try to get the ball in my hands pretty quickly, get the O-line sense of success when the ball's out quick and we get a positive gain, so. Yeah, just try to get the ball out quick and move forward.
It was incredible to see all of the former players that were there. The four-time Big 12 champions received their championship rings, their Big 12 championship rings last Friday night. So it was really a special night, but it was made special because of the fans who were there and made a difference. Real quick, just some things that stood out to me. I was really impressed with the young receiving corps. I mean, Trajan Bridges. Gabe Eichert made this comparison, and I think it sticks. Trajan Bridges reminds me of a Kenny Stills, and it stayed. He made so many big plays, made the adjustment on the ball that Jalen Hurts threw and put them in a first and goal situation. All of the young receivers looked the part and then went out and performed it as well, too. And I thought there was a couple of defensive guys that really caught my eye. I was really impressed with Brian Meade. I know that he got washed inside on one of the touchdown runs, but I thought he performed well. I thought Buki played very well. He ended up with a couple of touch sacks. Of course, there was no hitting the quarterback. And TJ Pledger. I thought TJ looked great, man. I'm excited for Jay Boulware, and I'm excited for that running back room because it is just flushed with talent, tons of talent in that running back room. So just some quick thoughts. We'll be able to go more in depth as obviously the offseason goes on, but fun night. Friday night, spring game, what an evening in Norman. Well, it's potentially a championship weekend for the Oklahoma Sooners men's and women's gymnastics team. Every week I get a chance to talk to KJ Kindler, and this week she brought in a very special guest as Maggie Nichols sat down with us to get us ready for this weekend. KJ, take me through this past weekend.
Yeah.
Obviously, a challenging environment, but we're moving on.
Yeah, very challenging environment. But and for us, you know, we were still battling some things going in there. Alex hadn't done a bar routine until the day before we left. And so her performance was definitely pivotal in what we did, as well as some other people who definitely stepped up. But and Maggie as well. She did vault for the first time in many, many moons this season. So, and she did it back-to-back nights, which I think was great for us to see that she could handle doing that two nights in a row. And then we had Evie Schopfer step up on floor for us. You know, I think the beam lineup, pretty much heroes of the meet, starting on beam on that last night is hard to do.
Right.
And I have never... And maybe one other time I've seen a beam set like that. It was just impeccable. So that was super fun. It's nice to start off a meet that way, knowing that you basically got one of the highest scores in postseason ever on that event and just kind of riding that out for the rest of the meet.
You want to go ahead and talk to Maggie so we can let her get out of here after our first segment? You know, we do this for 30 minutes.
Oh,
we
yeah.
don't mess around.
Well, we're doing a floor routine after this. Like, we are together
okay.
today.
Okay. Well, you're stuck with us then. First and foremost, Maggie, this is, I could imagine, maybe a little bit challenging with battling through the injuries. How mm-hmm. have you been able to handle the adversity so far this year?
Yeah, I mean, it's been difficult, you know, having an injury this year. Because last year I like did all around like every single meet, so but it's been amazing to have my teammates behind me. You know, they stepped up on the events that I haven't been able to do, and you know, I really trust them when they go out and compete. But it's been really nice to, you know, finally getting healthy and being able to compete vault this weekend, like, meant so much, and it felt really good to do it for the team.
I think the
the social media post I saw was you warming up, and it said, guess who's back? And when I saw you land it, it was like, okay, we're going to be fine here. Was that kind of for you the last hurdle in complete healing from this issue?
I mean, it was a huge step, just knowing that I can go out there and do my vault with no pain, and I felt really good. You know, I feel really strong. My legs feel really strong. So, you know, it just felt really good to, you know, go out and compete and, you know, hit a really good vault.
Okay. You've talked about this a lot, KJ. So for you, you're a junior. This is crazy. But how long did it take you to get used to the college schedule? And I don't even mean classes, right? Mm-hmm. I just mean competing every weekend, because when you're coming through the ranks – maybe what, once a month, once every other month? How much of a challenge was that for you, and do you ever really get used to it?
I mean, yeah, it's way different than Elite Gymnastics. We, like, only competed, like, three times a year. But for me, it wasn't that much of a challenge just because I was enjoying it so much, and it's such a different atmosphere. Elite is more serious, and college is – it's definitely serious, but it's a lot more fun with your team and your coaches, so – competing every weekend, I was just really excited, and I was ready to compete every weekend.
What's that like for you whenever it does? It becomes more team-oriented, and they have more fun, I think, in a lot of ways.
Oh, definitely, but it is something you have to get used to because you also have immense pressure. You have the pressure of your teammates on your shoulder, where before it was just, you know, hey, mom, dad, sorry about that, you know? But now it's like you have the university behind you, the athletic department, all your teammates. Like, it's a little more immense pressure. Mm-hmm. Maggie happens to thrive on competition. Like, she loves to compete. So adding all those meets actually, I think, made the sport more rewarding to her. And she got better at competing because of it. She was always a good competitor. But the more you do it, the better you get at it and handling the pressure and handling those moments that are so big. Mm-hmm. So I think that she thrives in this environment.
All right, we'll talk more about that coming up in a bit. Let's come to future time now. Maggie, we talked to Coach about it. How'd you feel about this past weekend down in Athens?
I think this weekend was amazing. I think it was just so incredible to see our team finally unfolding what we have been working so hard for this season. We've definitely had many setbacks this year, which has made us a stronger team, I think, in the gym and with chemistry and everything like that. So to finally see it kind of all unfold and everyone is, you know, in the game right now, it's just, it's so incredible to see, and I'm really excited to see how the rest of the season unfolds.
I told Coach this last week, and I've already asked for the rights to do so, but you could write a book about this season with all the adversity you guys have gone through in real-life adversity, injuries. I mean, what's been the key to persevere and overcome, Maggie?
I mean, I think we're just really leaning on each other, leaning on our coaches, leaning on our teammates, trainers, everybody. You know, when we do have, like, a setback or something difficult we're going through, I mean, I think it just, like I said, makes us stronger and will help us in the long run.
And obviously, as a coach, just when you think things are, I don't know if the word normalize would ever fit into this year, Coach, or maybe stabilize a little bit, something else will pop up, maybe another injury. How has it been for you to have to deal through it and fight through as well?
You know, we just have to be solution-oriented and find an answer.
I'm writing that down.
And that's
solution-oriented is a new phrase I love.
Yeah, and we have to find an answer. And so instead of, you know, freaking out when things like that happen, it's almost so common for us to hear, I got a phone call this morning. So it's just one more thing, you know. And honestly, we're just like, oh, if we can handle all this other stuff, sure, throw it, give it, bring it. I don't know. It's just been that way. So and we've been really great at finding a way through it, and that's been like Maggie said, that's helped our team grow. And I think, you know, now they're just like, oh yeah, we got this.
Beyond just then coach's leadership, Maggie, how much of that is a credit to, boy, I can't think of any other way to put it, but y'all's leadership, you know, from you and Brenna and the senior class. How much has that helped to keep people from becoming excusinators and saying, oh, well, so-and-so was hurt, we had to deal with this? That's not a part of this, I guess you could say, progression, is it, is to just excuse it away?
Yeah, definitely. That's not something that we do. But I think that if someone's going through a difficult time or, you know, like a setback, we all have each other's back. And so they can just lean on us and talk to us about it, and we'll get through it together as a team.
All right.
Excusinator. What is that? I like that.
So this is something that I came up with. They used to make fun of me in baseball whenever I was in high school because I always had an excuse when I was in a, when I was a freshman.
Was that your nickname?
Yeah. Well,
the
that's what. So my freshman year. By the way, I'm never good at athletics. So just I'm not trying to brag or anything. But my freshman coach one year, I would be like, I couldn't see your signs. I couldn't do this. The pitcher didn't throw. He goes, son, you're an excusinator, okay? You just have an excuse for everything. You got to go make it happen. And it just stuck with me from, what, like 18
years? I love it.
Think about, oh, not 16 years old, I guess, when I was a freshman. I'm 43. I forgot what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember something from 16 years old. So there you go.
I love it.
I was the excusinator. But you don't let that happen, do you, Coach? They just just plow right through.
No, they know that, you know, nothing's going to postpone what's coming. So the best thing for us to do is to find an answer. And like I said, so many people have stepped up this year, and we've had a lot of holes here, there, everywhere, and people have plugged them up. You know, they just keep getting better. So it's a great thing that we have the experience we have and that we've faced this adversity, and I think they feel like they can handle anything.
We need to remind fans this is an easy trip. This is Fort Worth. It's right down the street.
So easy, and what a great opportunity to come cheer us on. We have a 6 o'clock competition on Friday, and qualifying on, we'll have a 6 o'clock competition on Saturday as well. So great. You know, there's not a lot of tickets left. General admission, I think, is remaining. You've got to call in, get those tickets, plan your trip. It's really a fun environment. I think people will love it. And if you want to go to the afternoon session Friday, which obviously we're not in, that starts at noon. And so you can go see two sessions on Friday, one on Saturday. It's pretty exciting.
I know we ask you this a lot, Maggie, but the home crowd is one thing. But when you go on the road to a place like Fort Worth, where you guys won a national championship the last time you went, mm-hmm. I mean, that Sooner crowd can be something else. How much does it mean and relate to you guys whenever you're out there performing? I know you're singularly focused, mm-hmm. but you can hear it whenever you finish up, can't you?
Yeah, I mean, the audience is just amazing. Hearing them all cheer your name and cheer for the Sooners, it's just so incredible, and it just really makes you want to do really good for the university. But also at, like, a national championship, it's really cool to look into the stands and see LSU, UCLA. Like, the stands are, like, different colors. So it's really cool to, you know, see this – the Red, the Sooners, and everyone cheering for you.
You know, it's kind of interesting, and Coach had brought this up during the break, but you have friends that compete all over the place, mm-hmm. Including one of your best friends who competes for Denver, whom mm-hmm. you've seen 26 times now this season. But how fun is it to not only have your teammates that you cheer for, Maggie, but also people and friends that you've competed with and trained with your whole life?
Yeah, so I have friends on, like, almost all of the team. So, you know, even though we're competing against each other and all striving for that one goal, it's just – it's really cool to, you know, see them having a lot of fun and seeing them compete. You don't know, it's just – it's really fun.
How much joy do you take in seeing some of the youngsters on this team having gotten opportunity – gotten? Is that proper English? Having received
– earned.
I'm the radio guy. Earned, received, whichever one. Earned an opportunity so far this season, and to see them take advantage of that opportunity.
Yeah. So I think all the freshmen have competed this year a few times, and, you know, it's really cool to see them – their hard work paying off and being able to, you know – feel that joy of competing for the Sooners. And, you know, I'm going to brag a little bit. My little teammate, Olivia Troutman, we've been friends since we were little. And just to see her, you know, kind of following my footsteps a little bit and her striving and, you know, to win the national championship, it's just so cool. And she's been doing so amazing and achieving so many amazing honors. So it's just so amazing to watch her.
And you've seen incredible growth in her so far this year too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean to brag on Olivia, we started on balance beam in that final night, and regionals is do or die. You know, you don't go on if you don't do well. And we have a freshman starting us off on the first event, which is balance beam, in this gigantic meet. And she was same old, same old. Like, there was nothing nervous about her. I looked in her eyes. I saw the same athlete I always see, and she just, you know, skated through that routine like it was nothing. I was so impressed with how she handled that moment.
That's awesome. So it's kind of interesting. We got a chance to go to the UCLA meet this season, and I was watching you during and before routines. Do you have a normal kind of pre-bars or pre-vault? Do you have a mm-hmm. routine that you go through while other people are performing to get ready?
Yeah, a little bit. On beam, I like kind of go out and just like – the outside of the arena.
I saw you walk down the tunnel. Yeah, I was like, Maggie is leaving. Where is she going?
just to like kind of clear my mind a little bit, I do a few dance throughs. I did the same number every single time, and then come back out. Come back out, and during Anastasia's routine, she's right before me, I do a arm set and do it in my mind as well. And then, so I kind of do that on beam. Bars, I face the other direction. I don't watch.
Why is that? You know, or is it just always done it?
Just her thing.
It's just my thing. Yeah. Okay. It just helps. Like, I don't know. I don't want to get too pumped up before my routine. I need to stay calm. That's what's best for me. And I do a few handstands, get my arms warm. Vault, I don't really have anything too specific. I kind of just, I don't cheer super loud, but I still cheer and kind of stay calm. That's kind of like, that just helps me. And if I'm doing floor, I kind of just do my dance through and don't watch too much, but yeah.
Everyone has their own little thing.
Oh, yeah. They? Oh, tell me about it. Yeah.
I think my favorite thing has been watching everyone else during someone's floor routine. Because it's almost as if everybody that's watching knows the other person's routine.
They do.
And they're waiting for that moment where they can lose their minds or they can go through and do the routine with them. How, I mean, camaraderie, we talk about it.
Yeah.
You gotta be supporting your teammates.
Yeah, and a lot of what Maggie said, the adversity we've gone through and everything, has brought them closer. And chemistry, I think, when you get to this part of the season, you're going into a national championship. Listen, we've done all the practices. We have worked our rear ends off. We don't need to change anything, but the chemistry is what kind of takes you to another level, and especially at this time of the year. Those things can carry you very, very far, and sometimes there's not a lot a coach can do about chemistry. It's really something that is happening amongst the team members, and sometimes it doesn't happen, and I've seen that too. But this team really has gone through a lot together this year, and you can tell that they are close as they have ever been.
I've been around teams that you can tell there's not a lot of people that are tight and there's cliques. And then I've been around teams where, like, this group is tight. Would you say that this is a close team, Maggie?
I think we're very close. It kind of reminds me of my freshman year a little bit, just because that team was also very close and we had very strong chemistry. And I think it kind of feels the same this year for me. I just feel like everyone on the team, no matter what year you are, we're all very close. Like, I'm, you know, really good friends with a freshman and a sophomore and a junior and obviously seniors as well. But it's so cool just to see how everyone is so close and everyone can lean on each other.
All right, so what's this next week look like preparation-wise?
We're going to have 6 workouts, and then we're out of here. So we kind of do a 2-on, 1-off kind of pattern rhythm, if you will, so that we worked real hard for 2 days, then get a day of recovery in. We won't be changing a lot because, you know, what we're doing is working. Really right now what it's about is staying healthy and recovering as best as we can and getting some really good physical condition in this first 4 days. Because when we go on trips like this, there's many days of no strength, no endurance work, things like that. So we'll get back into that these next 4 days and then kind of scale back and get ready for the meet.
You know, and I feel like, Maggie, the one area just in covering athletics in general that I've seen our biggest growth has been recovery and understanding that, all right, listen, the old school way of no water, get back out there and work again, it's just not working. How key has that recovery been for you to be as fresh as you are heading into the championship?
Yeah, I mean, recovery is the most important thing, you know, especially people who have little injuries like I do. You know, I really lean on my coaches and trainers, listen to what they want me to do. And, you know, like outside of the gym, like I'm drinking a ton of water, eating very healthy, you know, sleeping very well. It's just really important just so I can feel the best in the gym and when I'm competing.
That's awesome. And I think we touched on it here. We're going to go long. Is it okay if I ask 3 more? Okay. I got 3 more. But we had touched on it. But, Coach, the energy that the Oklahoma fans can make down in Fort Worth – we're the closest, right, of the teams that are competing. So there's not an excuse for an OU fan to not be down there next weekend, is there?
No, absolutely not. I mean, if you've got a car, if you have a car and money for gas, get down there, all right? Because honestly, if you like what you see in the Lloyd Noble Center, this is absolutely, you will be enamored watching these teams compete for a national championship. It is something like you have never seen before. And just the moments that you will see, worth every bit of the trip.
And Maggie, for you, you've been through so much already at a young age. And my daughter's, my 10-year-old, looks up to you like you couldn't even imagine. So with that in mind, how do you compartmentalize that? Because you're not just a student athlete. You're an advocate. You're an incredible public speaker, and then you could be an idol to some of these youngsters. For you personally, how do you kind of handle all of that? How is it a challenge? Is it fun?
I don't think it's really a challenge. I think it's fun for me just to, you know, see all the little fans and, you know, people who like DM me on social media and send letters in the mail. It's really motivating for me just knowing that I'm a role model to them. And, you know, I try to be a good example, you know, inside the gym and also outside of the gym as well. So people can look up to me, and it's really motivating.
Well, since
you know, Maggie had a flat Stanley sent to her last week.
Really?
Absolutely. And they dressed her up as a little gymnast with a little bun in her hair. And she had it on the trip at regionals and was taking pictures. They did study table together. It was great.
Oh, that's awesome. It's amazing,
but
isn't it?
That kind of plays to what you're talking about. You know, there's a lot of young girls out there who really look up to her. And I'm sure whoever sent that is like waiting with bated breath for that to come back in the mail. So
I had to Google up Flat Stanley just to make sure I fully understood what it was. So I just want to make that very clear, because I thought I had an idea. I was like, okay, that's awesome. And then, Coach, real quick before I let you go, the adversity even continued last week on the way to the airport, where you guys had a tire blowout on the way to the airport.
Our bus tire blew out on the way to regionals. And we just said, par for the course. This is how we've been operating, so why not? Why not this?
Did the new system, did it make much of a difference? Did you notice anything with kind of the way in which the regionals are set up now, and then obviously going to the new number in the championship? Did it affect like maybe you had thought it would, or was it just business as usual?
I thought it was very different, because we are used to having buys at regionals. So we used to have six rotations. Now we only had four. The meet moved very quickly.
Wow.
And so actually it was great practice for what nationals will feel like. We do that all the time in regular season meets, but the speed of it was a little faster. And you did see some upsets across the country. And so it really did its job. And the parity in women's gymnastics is great. And you can expect almost any team to qualify in if they have that kind of day. So, yeah, I think it did affect a lot of things.
Florida and Alabama. Not going to be with you down in Fort Worth.
You know, Florida has been there the last 19 years, and Alabama has never failed to qualify.
Wow.
So that's huge, you know, but it's also opened up opportunities for schools like Michigan and Oregon State to qualify in. And Denver qualified in, and they're a top eight school. This will be their highest ranking without even competing next weekend. Some really incredible things for a lot of programs. We're seeing a lot of growth in our sport. I think it's great.
So you guys are off to the gym, right? We say adios from the studio and off to the gym.
Yes, off to prepare Maggie for floor.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did we break news here, or are we going to
Yeah, we did break news.
We did?
We're breaking news.
You going to do the all-around in the championship?
Going to try.
All right. There you go.
Thank you for downloading. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for listening to the Sooner Sports Podcast. We'll be back on Friday to recap the first game of the OU-Texas series. What a huge series in softball this weekend. They are selling tickets in upwards of like $300 for these games. Thursday, Friday, Saturday for the Sooners and the Longhorns. We'll have tons from baseball. We'll get Toby to jump back on with us, and we'll continue to look back on the spring game. What a night it was in Norman. Everyone have a great rest of your week. And until Friday's edition of the Tailgate, Boomer Sooner, everybody.
This has been the Sooner Sports Podcast. Make sure to get all the latest episodes online right now at Soonersports.tv/podcast. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at OU On The Air.